The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock,
what do you think?
Just I like love that. It. That was great. Thank you.
There used to be more of us in the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, but a lot of our jobs have disappeared. A lot of the clothes Americans are buying for women and kids are imports. They're being made in foreign places. When the work's done here, we can support our families and pay our taxes and buy the things other Americans make. That's what it means when the label says union.
Look for the union label. Whether you are buying one coat, dress, or balls, remember somewhere.
Yeah, well, hey, welcome to a Friday, everybody. I had to start with that today in honor of the Amazon workers of Staten Island. Did you hear this? Did you hear what happened? This is very cool. The workers at one of Amazon's Staten Island, New York facilities have voted to be represented by a union. This is a historic first at the nation's second largest private employer. So here's what happened. After a two-day ballot count, workers at the warehouse known as JFK 8 voted by 2,654 to 2,131 to be represented by the Amazon Labor Union. Yeah, this is an independent organization led by current and former workers. They say the amount of challenged ballots, 66, is not enough to sway the result. So the result is the very first Amazon union in U.S. history. And that's a big deal. That's just a really big deal. I've decided that today is going to be good news Friday. We only have a few minutes before we get to the interview today. So I'm only going to share good news. Well, there were actually two Amazon facilities that had a vote. Do you remember, it was last year sometime, that the Amazon workers in Bessemer, Alabama, ostensibly voted down a union coming in. But there were a lot of questions about how that vote was run, and was it legit, and it really wasn't. And so they had a do-over. So in this do-over, I'll tell you, not many people voted. Maybe that's the difference between New York and Alabama. New York, they understand what a union will do for you. In Alabama, they don't, because they appear to have rejected it. But outstanding challenged ballots in this circumstance could change the outcome. But the votes there were 993 to 875 against the union. But a hearing to review 416 challenged ballots is expected to begin in the next few days. But let me tell you something. I'm on, what is it, honorable release or something from my union. I'm a member of AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, because when I worked in Los Angeles, I had to be a member of the union. Now, here in Florida, this is a right to work for less state, so they don't even recognize the union. So when I came back here, I wound up just going on. It's like a hiatus, I guess, because I'm not doing any union work. But the 15 years or so I spent in Los Angeles working in radio were enough to get me vested. And so thank God, I will have a pension. So I'm not collecting it yet. I'm too young, just a babe in the woods. But, you know, when I get up there in a few years, I will have a monthly pension. And between that and Social Security, I can live, you know, still below the poverty line. But hey, at least it's something, you know? So anyway, good on the people, the union workers of the Amazon Labor Union in Staten Island. That's awesome. Another bit of good news before we move on today. The House of Representatives today passed a bill decriminalizing cannabis, marijuana, pot at the federal level. And it went down almost along straight party lines, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. But there were three Republicans who voted yes and two so-called Democrats who voted no. Let's see. So you can guess who they were, kind of. Well, you can guess who some of them were. On the Democrats side who voted against it, Chris Pappas of New Hampshire, who I don't really know much about, and Henry Cuellar of Texas. And the people who are in Henry Cuellar's district actually have a perfect way out, because Jessica Cisneros is running, and she came this close last time. She is another Blue America endorsed candidate, and she's awesome. So Texas, you can get rid of Henry Cuellar, you can bring in Jessica Cisneros, and you can have your pot and smoke it too. So those are the two Democrats that voted against it. On the Republican side, three Republicans voted for it. They would be Tom McClintock of California, Brian Mast of Florida, and of course, Matt Gaetz of Florida, because you know he's a stoner. But I'm surprised Madison Cawthorn didn't get in there. Yeah, I guess he didn't want to call any more attention to himself, because you know he's a partier. But he probably does meth, right? instead of weed, he probably does meth and smokes crack. Anyway, so that happened, right? Good news today. And today's the first day of April, no fooling. And so the monthly job report's out, and it was another good jobs report. The U.S. added 431,000 jobs in March. The unemployment rate dropped to 3.6%. The Labor Department also revised the January and February job gains up by a combined 95,000, bringing the total number of jobs added by the U.S. economy in 2022 up to 1,685,000 jobs. That's good. Although, you know, you turn on the news and they're going to tell you that the economy is tanking. You know, I guess this is when Trump's braggadocious qualities come into play. Because, you know, Joe Biden should be screaming from the rooftops. All right. Enough of that. So it is Friday. We are just finally we're getting past all the news stories about the Oscar night drama and the slap heard around the world and all that. I'm frankly sick of it. Although we did talk about it because everyone was talking about it and everyone had a thought about it. But now the Oscars are over. Have you watched Coda yet? All right, this weekend, do that. But this weekend are the Grammys. Now, frankly, I don't care about the awards. I think awards for artistic endeavors are, it's just so masturbatory. You know, it's like, okay. But as a music fan, well, you know, the music that I love isn't shown in the primetime Grammys anymore. Music I like is now relegated to Americana and contemporary folk and contemporary blues. And they give those things away during the daytime ceremony. But you're going to hear all about that, because today's guest is a two-time Grammy-nominated artist who you've never heard of. And if somebody had their way, you still wouldn't know about her because she wouldn't have those Grammy nominations. It's a fascinating story. So we are going to delve into the real Grammy controversy that you didn't even know existed. All right, you ready? Our guest is Linda Chorney, and I hope you enjoy this. Well, joining us on the line now is a Grammy-nominated
artists, and the Grammys are this weekend, and so I thought this would be a perfect day to speak with Linda Chorney. Now, Linda is also not only a musician, a singer-songwriter, but you're also a filmmaker, you got a TV show, you wrote a book. You're a renaissance woman for the 21st century, huh?
I would say more like a jackass of all trades.
All right, well, I can get, I can
but
go.
Thank you. I will accept your label.
Okay.
Thank you.
It works. They both work. It all works. Look, we're, we reject labels, but you know, we like descriptions, whatever that means.
Absolutely. No, it's just that I do things, as an independent artist. I just say, oh, if I'm going to make a movie, I'm just going to make a movie. Do I know how to make a movie? No, but I'm going to do it. So although I did get nominated for a couple of Grammys, I probably won't win any Oscars.
Okay. But you could get a Grammy. Let's go back and talk about what happened here. So you're nominated for your song Bored, for a Grammy, the best roots,
American roots song American for roots songwriting, song. Which is quite an honor.
Ah, for songwriting. It's not the recording. It's the song. It's the written song that's nominated this time. Now back in 2012, you were nominated, your whole album was nominated for Best Americana Album?
Correct.
But something weird happened along the way. So you are an independent artist. You're not aligned with a major label. And you took it upon yourself back in 2012 to reach out to people to ask them to listen to your music. People who happen to be voting members of the Academy?
Correct.
And for that, you got criticized. So what happened? I think that's part of the PR. I mean, major labels lobby on behalf of their artists to get them recognized and to get people, the voting members, to listen to their records. So you did it for yourself. There used to be a website up through the Recording Academy that you could see who the voting members are and you could contact them.
Correct. It was called Grammy 365 and it was set up so we could communicate. So the difference is, I think, they didn't expect an indie to actually get nominated. And I did. And therefore, nobody profited off my nomination. And so it pissed off some people. So if their guy or their woman didn't get nominated, it was my fault. And I got to experience the politics that goes on in the world and the fake news, because they fabricated a story that I somehow cheated to get nominated and I got a death threat and a whole bunch of stuff happened. And as a result of that, I felt compelled to make a movie. First, I wrote the book, Who the Fuck is Linda Chorney? Uh-huh. And then I decided if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to make the movie because I want the truth to be told. Because every year when somebody unexpected gets in, my name gets brought up every year.
Uh-huh. Wait, so you said they, you know, accused you of cheating. Who is they? The Academy?
I'd say the Americana. No, not the Academy.
Okay.
That's the irony of this nomination when we'll discuss that. In my book and my movie, it was very interesting that, I got calls from the inside telling me about corruption in airplay and how they falsify spins. And I was like, this is fascinating. This is a freaking book. And that's when I started writing the book, because it was just something to be in my shoes to experience all this and not expecting it. I mean, I thought it was my Cinderella story and then they tried to poop in my glass slipper. But that's why I wrote the book. I'm like, damn it, I'm going to get the truth out about me. And I did. I spent my life savings, made the film. I had my cousin, Robin Russin, who's a great screenplay writer. He came and directed. And again, I had no idea what I was doing, but I just did it anyway.
Wow.
And it's called When I Sing.
When I Sing, and it's available to watch on Amazon Prime. In fact, let's take a little time out and watch the trailer, because we can. Linda Chorney, the trailer for the film When I Sing.
This is for the 99% of us that are sitting in the corner of a bar wondering if anybody's listening.
I've been chasing the dream for 30 years. I thought I would have made it by now. There have been
good guys and bad guys, and ups and downs. Hey, it's a living.
I'm missing the boat.
And after all, I made history.
What? I did.
Who in the universe is Linda Chorney?
I started playing piano at 4, switched to guitar at 10, always wanted to be a rock star. But now here I am, back in Vail, single again, after screwing up several relationships.
Warm them up for you.
Why don't you blow on them? It's the only action you're going to get tonight.
Those beautiful blue eyes would not distract the fact that you're an idiot.
You cannot keep doing this. How are you going to support yourself?
Linda, I want you to do the album of your dreams, and I want to finance it.
What? Yeah! We're having a baby!
I was like a kid in a candy store. This is my last album.
Best album you've ever done. We got to market it, and we got to get it to all the labels.
Yeah, right. Like Sony Music wants to sign a 51-year-old woman. Maybe they have a menopausal music division.
What if you put it in the Grammys?
I told you 6 months ago
that you needed to get some contacts.
I have as much chance of getting nominated as I do getting pregnant.
You know, it was a Hail Mary. We tried.
You did it? You made it?
You know you don't belong in this. You know you're a joke, right?
They're clearly trying to f*** you.
Winner is...
No one can hurt me.
You sang in bars your whole life. Why don't you just go back to singing in bars? It seems to be working for you.
No one can hurt me.
Is it so wrong?
No one can rip
me. Believe that you can make it to the top?
No one can hurt me. When I sing.
Linda Chorney, the movie trailer for When I Sing. And I saw it. I actually watched it at least a year ago, maybe more, because
wow.
Scott, who is your husband now, he's very persuasive.
he's the one who forced me to go into the Grammys. I was like, what? No, all of the movie is pretty much all true.
Uh-huh. So yeah. So you got these threats and people are like, you don't belong here. But the fact remains that your album was nominated. Who won that year? You leave us.
I had the honor of coming in behind Levon Helm.
Oh, okay. Levon Helm.
May he rest in peace.
Absolutely. So, you know, you're in a good category, right? There's a lot of great people. So did it blow over eventually? I mean, people raised a stink. What was the ultimate outcome? Did they try to get you removed from the ballot?
No.
Okay.
No, not that time.
Not that time. Okay. So now fast forward. It's 10 years later.
Okay. Actually, let's fast forward a year after my nomination. You said, like, what happened?
Yes.
One thing that happened is that the Recording Academy at the time, which was under a whole different president.
Oh, right.
VP,
because there was all kinds of scandal there. I forgot about that.
They changed the rules. But the reason I got nominated is because it was a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of voters voted me and Lucinda Williams and Ry Cooter, Levon Helm, and Emmylou Harris.
Oh, nice. That's good company. Wow.
That was my company.
Yeah.
They voted for our albums, not a committee.
Right.
Okay. And there are some categories with committees who decide who the final five are. And in fact, I had a petition going to get rid of the committees. But the year after my nomination, I received a phone call, another inside phone call from somebody who was on one of these committees, a gentleman named Lewis Myers, who is in his own right. He was one of the founders of South by Southwest.
Okay.
And he was the head of the Folk Alliance.
Sure.
He's since passed away too. I'm sorry to say. And so Marion Ramsey, who you saw in my film, who was in police academy, all the police academies, she okay. passed away too. So kind of feel old, right?
Yes, I know. We are getting up there. So
anyway, so he called me up and he said, they changed the rules and didn't tell anybody. So my guys and folk and you and every other independent musician will never get a chance to get a Grammy again. They shut that door. And I said, what? And I wrote about that in the book. The majority of the film is not about the Grammys at all. It's just about my journey as an independent musician and then to get this incredible honor and then just all the people coming up to me and how catty it is and how ew. And I had to turn lemons into lemoncello.
Gotcha.
and make the film, because to me, if I stepped outside of myself, it was fascinating. Now let's fast forward.
Okay.
So I wrote the song Bored during the pandemic, and I performed it, and then I decided, you know what, I'm going to record this. I'm going to record this song, as much as it makes no sense to record anything because you don't make the money back. I'm going to record it. And I got together with Trevor Sewell and Becca Byram and EJ Willett. And EJ and Trevor, they co-produced with me. And then Dave Maddox on drums and Jeff Oster on horn. And I just want to make sure I give credit to everybody.
Gotcha.
And Shinya Hasegawa from Japan. So okay. this went all over the world. And halfway through the recording, the Recording Academy and their new CEO, Harvey Mason Jr., mm-hmm. decided to get rid of all the committees.
Ooh.
So this year was 100% democracy, even in the big categories. And so I said, I'm going back in there. That's exactly what I said. I said, let's go for it. But the reason I went for it is I wanted to prove that the last nomination was not a fluke.
Gotcha.
So now the nominations were announced on November 23rd this year. They decided to announce every single category live streamed. So I was with my dog and we huddled up to the TV, and some of my friends were nominated in New Age. And then they got to Americana and I wasn't called. And I was like, oh, well, it was a long shot. I tried. It's a good mm-hmm. song.
Right.
And we got really good feedback on the song. And I just went out for lunch with my dog and didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That night, we're sitting around watching TV, something stupid, light. I get a Google alert. I look at it, and it shows me nominated in American Roots. It's me, then John Batiste for okay. Cry, because it's an alphabetical order. Okay. Bored,
right?
Cry, and then the others. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm like, what the hell is this? And I actually thought it was somebody from the Americana community twisting a knife in me, saying, ha ha, you didn't get in. I'm just going to mess with you. And then somebody else from the Academy saw it, another voting member, and they tweeted out to this woman. They said, hey, why do you have her on this list? This is, you know, that's not very kind.
Right.
Next morning, I get a letter from that woman, and she was really sweet. She goes, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean any harm. I just copied and pasted the list I was given. So now I'm, so that whole night before, I'm not sleeping because I think somebody was screwing with me.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't think I was nominated, because why, if it's a democracy this year, why would I not be on, why would it be on one list and then not on another?
Right.
So now I'm puzzled. Then I might get another Google alert. This time it's Rolling Stone. And it has me nominated.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
Then I get Rolling Stone. I'm like, okay, somebody removed me.
Right.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And first what happened is their other members were really pissed off too. And on my behalf, wrote to the Academy. This was the night before Thanksgiving. So now I've had two nights of torture, and we got a long weekend coming. And this nomination was very important to me because it proved the last one wasn't a fluke. And I'm very proud of the song. I'm very proud of the musicians and the producers and the featured artists. I'm very proud of the song. To think that somebody tried to rob that from me pissed me off.
Right.
So yes, that night at, so the people that wrote did not hear back from the Academy. So I decided at 2 a.m., which was actually technically Thanksgiving morning. Uh-huh. I wrote to Harvey Mason Jr. himself.
Okay. That's the new head of the Grammy organization.
The CEO.
CEO.
Who, by the way, by coincidence, I live in Tucson, Arizona, and he played for University of Arizona, so does his son, basketball. Huh. And he's beloved here. He has a great reputation. He has family here. So I decided, you know what? They say he's a good guy. I'm gonna write him. Uh-huh. And plus, I couldn't sleep. And it was 2 a.m. And I wrote him. And I was so excited. Not excited, but I was pleasantly surprised that the next morning at 6 a.m. his time, he wrote me back.
Wow.
And he said, I'm so sorry this happened. I'm going to personally look into this. I'm going to go to Deloitte. I'm going to go to the board, and I'm going to find out what's up. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And I won't go through all the details, but the next day, I was still waiting. They made an announcement defending the nomination of Marilyn Manson and Louis C.K.
Oh, God.
For being sexual offenders, saying that their history and one's criminal record has no bearing on a nomination.
Okay.
And this is relevant. Doesn't mean we're going to invite them to the Grammys, but they can have a nomination. If they put their album in time and has all the qualifications, they can get nominated. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, they took the time to do that, but they didn't address me. Variety had already covered me saying, what's the deal? Chorney was in this. And, but I'm going through tremendous anguish. I already have anxiety, you know, just being a musician. I think I'm like Larry David. I'm just this.
But you have better hair.
That can sting. That's the only difference between me and Larry. And I have a little more hair. That's it. Hair. But I love him. So my husband said, why don't you tweet the New York Times? Ben Cesario. He's the one who covered Deborah Dugan and all that. Maybe he knows.
Deborah Dugan, who was the former CEO of the Grammy organization, who got booted out because stuff. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so all I wanted was to see the list. I wanted to know, so are these fake lists that these guys got?
Right.
Were they some sort of fabricated list that was sent out accidentally by somebody else other than the Recording Academy?
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out if the New York Times maybe has that list. So I tweeted him and I said, hey, I introduced myself. I'm an independent musician. I was nominated 10 years ago. I was on this list, Rolling Stone. Can you please help me solve the mystery? 1 minute later, I get a private message from him with his phone number.
Wow.
And we spoke for like an hour. And it was kind of like 20 questions.
Uh-huh.
But he explained to me that the press gets their lists beforehand so they can print them out.
Right.
For the nominees.
Mm-hmm.
And they are sworn to an oath not to share it.
Sure. It's under embargo. So when you get something under embargo, it'll say for release not before, you know, whatever date at 10 a.m. or whatever it is. Right.
So at this point, this was 5 days after the fact and a week after the fact, they received the initial list.
Right.
And so it was okay for him to answer me. So sure. I said, do you have the original list from Friday? Yes, I do.
Can I see it?
Was I on it?
Uh-huh.
Yes, you were.
Oh. Uh-oh.
So here's the thing. This is the most remarkable thing that blows my mind of all the people in the world for it to happen to.
Right.
In the history of the Emmys, Grammys, Tonys, and Oscars, when people say, I was robbed, okay, I was snubbed, and maybe they were, but they can't prove it.
Right. You can prove it.
I had the proof by the freaking New York Times.
Wow.
Drop the mic.
Yep.
So I told the Academy, I said, look, you know, you guys honestly don't have to go to Deloitte now and get the count. I know I was nominated. And in a year of a democracy, there's no reason why I shouldn't be on. I don't know how I was replaced by the song Avalon, which happens to be with an A.
Right.
I said, and I know it's not up to me, but I am sure that she had nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do not want her removed. Not that, again, it's my decision.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you just make six nominees? And because you made 10 nominees in the generals.
Right.
So to finish the story, Ben told me that there was an emergency meeting on Monday from the Academy. So they said, hold the press, you know, like in an old movie.
Yeah.
And so when the new list came out, now you know I wrote another book. This is a whole other book, what happened. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
So he says, hold the press. And at the very last minute, on the 11th hour, the Academy sent them the new list.
Mm.
Taylor Swift, Kanye West, Lil Nas, and Brandi Carlile, and ABBA were added.
Oh, really?
And I was gone.
What? Oof.
I was gone. So what I believe happened was that because it was at the last minute, the people in Europe, because all of my, where my list, my name was on the list, were from the European publications. So I think they didn't get the update in time. And when they heard about the update where Taylor Swift was added, they added them,
but they didn't take me away. Off.
So he told me that. And that's when So I told him, you guys don't need to bother counting. And they said, Harvey said, just hang in there. We're going to Deloitte. We're doing a recount. it's hilarious. So this was during right before Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
And basically my nomination was sort of like the miracle of the lantern. You know, they had enough oil to last for one day.
Right.
So my nomination, which should have been just done in one day, it took 8 days.
There you go.
So 8 days later, Harvey calls me. First, he says, I was flagged. What do you mean I'm flagged? For what? Because you wrote a book and made a movie that talks about the Recording Academy.
Oh, my God.
And I said to him, I said, wait a minute. One's history is not supposed to. And by the way, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say we were talking like, not like, what the fuck? It was like, wait a minute. You're right. Telling me people who have sexual offending allegations and their history has nothing to do with the nomination. But because I wrote a book that told the truth, I was flagged and removed. Well, why wasn't I put back on? Basically there were several conversations. That's why I had to write the book. But I asked him, I said, if you find out that I had the numbers, are you going to give me back my nomination? He said, absolutely.
Okay.
You'll get it back. So fast forward, he said they counted every single ballot of mine.
Mm-hmm.
and every single one was valid. And that was 8 days of torture for me, even though I knew I was right. I wasn't guaranteed that they were going to give it back to me.
Right.
But Harvey Mason Jr., to his credit, did the right thing. He could have swept it under the rug, could have said it's too late, but he didn't.
Uh-huh.
He did the right thing. There are still holes in the story. And after the Grammys, I am going to find out that there are checks and balances in place so this doesn't happen again.
Right.
I want to find out what repercussions or what sort of, I don't want to use the word punishment, but, you know, who was the person who removed me in the first place? And I said to him, I'm like, Harvey, I bet that person didn't even watch my movie or open a page in my book.
Right.
Because you guys weren't the bad guys at all. And then, but the best part was, so, oh my God, this should be in the next movie, but I want Sandra Bullock to play me. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm on the phone with Ben from the New York Times, right? And he goes, so what's the deal? Did you find out yet? This is before I knew I was back on the list. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, I don't know. I said, but blah, blah, blah. And then I said, oh, sorry, Harvey's on the other line. Can I call you back? I had a phone face-off with the head writer from the New York Times and Harvey Mason Jr.
Nice.
So I was like, he goes, yeah, yeah. So then Harvey, and then when Harvey told me, I said, so you're telling me I can tell the New York Times that I was flagged because I wrote a book and I have a movie called When I Sing, which is on Amazon. He said, yes. I was like, that's awesome. And I told Ben at the New York Times and they sure enough printed my movie name.
Nice.
So
very nice. Cool. And the bottom line is you are on the ballot. And how long, so the voting didn't begin until after they cleared up this whole ballot confusion, right? Or
for
did
me,
it? For
me.
Yeah.
The other people had a 10-day start.
Oh.
Head start.
Mm.
So, but I feel pretty good about, I think I have just as much of a shot as anybody else of winning.
Cool. Well, we want to hear your music. So kindly
suck. Yeah,
said you would do a couple of songs for us. Linda Chorney is our guest, Grammy nominated artist, Linda Chorney.
The Grammys, Grammy nominated.
Two-time Grammy nominated. Wow. So do you have the outfit picked out yet? Do you know what you're wearing?
Yes. Besides Botox in my forehead. So my nomination is dedicated to the indies. Mm-hmm. And when I say indies, I mean not from an independent label that's a subsidiary of Sony or Warner or something. Mm-hmm. I mean people who book their own gigs, lug their own shit, do their own marketing, pay the expenses to record their own albums and sell them at their shows in order to eat.
Sure.
That being said, when people were asking me who I was going to wear, well, I said, well, I want an independent designer,
mm-hmm.
because I want them to have the spotlight. You know, it's really hard to get your break. There's so many talented people out there and only some get their break. So Laura Tanzer,
okay,
she already designed my dress and I can't wait to wear it. I loved it. I walked in and she goes, I want to know your personality and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no heels, nothing too girly or frilly because I'm kind of a tomboy.
Uh-huh.
And the next week I came in and every single dress she drew was like me. It was hard to decide which one.
Cool.
So that's who I'm wearing.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to watch the award ceremony Sunday night to see.
I'm in the daytime.
Oh, you're in the day. Oh, so your award. So they changed it. So this year they're showing less awards. So you're not going to be on the actual nighttime broadcast. Your category.
I think it's the same. I don't think it's changed at all.
Oh, really?
The daytime is the best. I mean, that's where all the classical and opera and jazz. I mean, I saw Tony Bennett sing last time I was nominated. It's fantastic, but they don't. They only show the big pop stuff
right.
at night.
Real. All right. So you got guitar in hand, Linda Chorney. What are you going to do for us first?
I think I'll do When I Sing.
Do it. Linda.
disappointed more than I care to admit. But I put on a good show of color to push over all the pain. And I don't have enough fingers on my hands to count how many times I've been let down. But I found a safe place to go where I love hanging around, where I don't feel the sting. And there's just one thing that makes me feel as light as a child on a swing. Stuck with yourself, at least you'll be there till the end. And you won't walk out on you after you've loved with all your heart. Wipe the feet on your welcome mat, not bothering to close the door behind. I'm leaving you broken in the trap, never bothering to look back to see if you are still okay.
Deserves applause. I know it's only me here, so Linda Chorney, When I Sing, which is also the title of her film, about the first Grammy nomination and the way it was screwed up, and now here we are on the
why can't I just have a normal nomination like everybody
but
else?
You know what, if you did, then you wouldn't be standing out from the crowd. Now you've got a real story to tell, because not once but twice. You know, so you are the perfect Grammy sidebar story.
The funniest part about it is that, you know, whoever removed me had a plan.
So do you
know that work? How'd that work out?
Do you know who it was? I mean, you said it wasn't the Grammys. It was the Americana Music Association.
No. This time. Okay. So I was flagged, right?
Mm-hmm.
For having a book and a movie.
Right.
That really wasn't about the Grammys, other than telling the truth about what happened when they changed the rules.
But is there a rule against that you're not allowed to talk? Because let me tell you, in radio, you know, with ratings, the way ratings works in radio, if you talk about the ratings process, it used to be a company called Arbitron, now it's Nielsen. If you talk about, and it used to be diaries, and in most places now it's like a people meter kind of thing. Regardless, if you talk about any of that, you get flagged and delisted. You're not allowed, you're not allowed to talk about it.
Let's talk, because this is what I want. This is my last press release.
Okay.
This is what it's about. This is how the world is going to shit right now. Okay.
Well, it's going to shit in a lot of ways, but okay.
Yeah. But the reason, the root of the shit are the lies. Okay. Let's take, okay. First of all, again, Harvey Mason Jr. did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I believe they need to examine their rules. Why can't somebody speak the truth about the Grammys? Why can't somebody speak the truth about anything? Let's take Liz Cheney. Because her party is more important than the truth. She's being punished for telling the truth about the election results. I was punished for telling the truth.
Right.
You're punished if you say anything about paying no right. attention.
This
to
is
what's
how it works. Be honest.
The
if you say be honest, if you're listening, you know, write it down. You'll get flagged and delisted.
Right now, and here's let's go even more extreme. Russia.
Yeah.
Right now. Putin. Okay. You say something against the party, that's the truth. You're going to get cleansed now. Did you hear the cleansing thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the entire world has to start embracing transparency and telling the truth. And that's, mine's a silly it's not a silly nomination, but compared to what's going on in the world, it's nothing, but it's the principle.
Mm-hmm.
So I have faith that Harvey is going to fill in the holes up to the story. People there's going to be accountability for what happened. Things are going to change. And I want that to be contagious.
So Linda Chorney, you said you do one more song for us, right?
All right, here we go. All right. This is Bored. Now I wrote this song because I was bored. This was during lockdown. It was during the height of lockdown where you went in a hazmat suit over to Costco and got all your stuff. And I had a closet full of food. I live in Arizona where it's beautiful outside. I have a puppy. I bought a COVID puppy. I am so in love with my dog. I couldn't have got through any of it without my dog. And I wrote the song with my dog there. And the thing is though, I was like, oh, I'm bored. Oh, poor Linda. She's bored. She's got food in the house and she has a beautiful little puppy and a great husband and it's beautiful outside. And then there's people dying. So then you start feeling guilty about being bored. And so that's why the song has different tempo changes because my mood changes. But the bottom line is I want to send out healing vibes. So here we go.
Okay.
I'm bored out of my mind. Yeah, I never had missed so much time. Oh, I'm bored out of my mind. But at least I'm feeling something. Positive energy and love feels like the right thing for my soul.
That's for Ukraine, too.
Linda Chorney with Bored. Wow. I love it. What, I mean, I love it. And I've heard the produced version, and I like them both. And they are different because there's other stuff going on in the recorded song. But oh, my goodness. I love the tempo changes. It's really good. So Bored is nominated for Best American Roots Song at the Grammys, which are happening this Sunday night. Your award won't be televised, but they will announce it, at least. They'll say earlier in the day. Oh, it'll be streamed.
The whole daytime program is streamed. You guys should tune in. The daytime program is the best.
Okay. So at the Grammys,
you should watch the evening one, too, of course.
You know what? I'd probably like the daytime one better. So Grammy.com. And yeah, so that you can watch it throughout. Do you know what time the daytime stuff starts?
Really freaking early. Really freaking early PST.
Okay.
So, but Eastern Standard Time, I think it's noon.
Oh, that makes
sense.
If I'm
not mistaken, noon PST.
Gotcha.
Which means I have to get up early. You have no idea what it's like when you get nominated and you're 61 years old. Well, I'll be 62 by then, right? Mm-hmm. The makeup artist comes and...
And then you got to put on the dress, which we have to tune in to see as well. Linda Chorney, you can find her online at lindachorney.com. She's on the Twitters at Linda Chorney. The music is available. The movie is available. The books.
And the next one's coming out.
When?
It's called The Unshakable Indie. And it'll be out really soon.
Very cool. Linda, this was a pleasure. It was great to meet you. I'm surprised we haven't met before, but I'm happy to meet you now. And thank you for joining us today. And we'll be rooting for you. Linda Chorney. Oh, hold on. Need to turn the mic back on. Okay. Now, Linda Chorney. Pretty amazing, huh? What a story. What a story she's got. And apparently, in the 54-year history of the Grammys, she is the only truly independent artist who's ever been nominated, and now she's been nominated twice. And still nobody knows who she is. I love that. I mean, I love both songs. The first one that she performed, When I Sing, that's the title track to the movie, which is available on Amazon Prime. It's streaming there. I think it's like a $4.99 rental or something, but definitely worth it because it tells the story of the first nomination. And then when the second one happened, that was just a little too absurd, a little too weird, right? But the song that she's nominated for, I think, is truly worthy. Now, a number of you in the chat room picked up on the same thing I did. The hook, the tempo change in that the second song, Bored, the one that's nominated tonight, it's very reminiscent of a part of a Moody Blues song. I picked up on that reference. A few of you did as well. But anyway, yeah, what a nightmare she went through. But as I said, if that didn't happen, chances are we wouldn't have spoken because she'd be just another artist who was nominated. So she's got a story. I'm surprised that there hasn't been more written about her. Now, she mentioned she's in Variety. You might recall when the Beatles movie, when the rooftop, the Get Back came out, I had Chris Willman on from Variety. That's who did the story about her. So anyway, I think she's great. And the way I learned of her is not through the Grammys. Her husband, you know, he contacted me. He said, you got to watch this movie. And after he pushed me a lot, I finally did. And I was glad I did. And then when I saw she was nominated again, I thought, okay, we need to have Linda on. So I thought this was a good diversion, a great way to, get away from the news of the day for a moment or more and, enjoy and a way to, you know, say, hey, well, this weekend's the Grammys. All right. I don't really want to talk about the news. I don't want to do anything else. So I figure, you know what? We'll go out with a Lauren Mayer song. Because she's got a new one out. So this one deals with the news. It's timely and topical. And it'll give us a little giggle on the way out as well. So the latest from Lauren Mayer on the Nicole Sandler Show. Here we go. It's called Hidin' Who He Telephoned.
Just my husband, 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 my husband,
It feels like Watergate has nothing on this plot. His flimsy answers are completely full of crap. Why is he hiding telephones? Why is he hiding telephones? We heard he talked to lots of buddies on that day. Didn't he use burner phones for what he had to say? Now Nixon's 18 minutes have been blown away. Oh, he couldn't take rejection, so he planned an insurrection to overturn an election. And now he's hiding who he telephones. He can't keep hiding who he telephones. It's good to hear that the committee's gonna look and get more evidence the former guy's a crook. But how much longer will they let him off the hook? Oh, it's got us thinking, yuck. Oh, I'm feeling horror-struck. Oh, can't they indict the schmuck? Because he's hiding who he telephones. Why is he hiding who he telephones? No matter what excuse he's gonna use to spin it, the law's supposed to have each conversation in it. It's missing 7 hours and 37 minutes. 7 hours and 37 minutes. Who knows what he did in all that time? If he hid 7 hours and 37 minutes, it shows he knows he committed a crime. But he could hide, but the committee's gonna spoil it. It's still a mystery, but they're gonna uncoil it. And God knows what else he was washing down the toilet. Why is he hiding who he telephoned? He won't get off the hook. Oh, we know that he's a crook. Whoa, he won't get off the hook. Whoa, we know that he's a crook.
I'll tell you what, I love Lauren Mayer, but after listening to Linda Chorney sing that, maybe that wasn't the best, because that one, and Lauren's got a lovely voice, but that, you know, on that one, that wasn't, but it's Friday. Hey, it's Friday, and the weekend is here. If you're in South Florida, tomorrow, Saturday, I'm doing a pet adoption event at the Good Karma Animal Rescue. They are off just off of Powerline Road, and I guess it's technically Pompano Beach. If you're down here and you want to go, email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. I'll send you all the information. I think it's from like 11 to 3 or something like that. But I'll have some of my paintings out there and be hanging out and talking to people and playing with all the adoptable animals. All right. With that, it's the weekend, you know, sending out thoughts and healing thoughts and peaceful thoughts to the people in Ukraine. I see a number of you in the chat room talked about getting your second booster. Please do Randy Rainbow TPP. What? I don't know what that means. Randy Rainbow, when he has a new song out, I always play it. I don't know what TPP means, Morishani. You're going to have to tell me. All right. We're done. It's the weekend. Enjoy it. And next week, do we have anything special lined up? I think next week is probably pretty wide open at this point. It is. We've got a great climate change guest on Friday. But aside from that, we'll have to see what the week brings us. Let's hope there's no drama at the Grammys, but hope Linda Chorney wins. And again, they're going to be streaming it, I think, live.grammy.com. is where you can see all the Grammy stuff. All right. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you Monday. And now, I'll leave you with the news. All right. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to April. We start the month with another good jobs report. The U.S. added 431,000 jobs in March, and the unemployment rate dropped to 3.6%. The Labor Department also revised the January and February job gains up by a combined 95,000, bringing the total number of jobs added by the U.S. economy in 2022 up to 1,685,000. But the so-called news media will continue to push the false narrative that the economy is failing. Florida's governor isn't having a good day. A federal judge on Thursday ruled parts of Florida's year-old election law unconstitutional, saying that the new rules were enacted to, quote, discriminate against black voters. Judge Mark Walker said the state cannot enforce provisions limiting the use of ballot drop-box, imposing strict rules on voter registration organizations, and prohibiting some kinds of assistance to people waiting in line to vote, like giving them food or water. Florida's sad excuse for a governor, Ron DeSantis, signed the law last May as Republican legislatures around the country were changing voting laws in response to the 2020 election. Walker was the first judge to strike down any of those laws. In his 288-page ruling, Judge Walker insisted that Florida has engaged in intentional discrimination and that legislators were told, and then ignored, that their voting law would disparately hurt minorities because it was crafted in a way to stifle Democratic turnout and black voter representation. Walker said it was an ongoing pattern. Therefore, he ruled that the state must get court approval for the next 10 years anytime it wants to make changes to laws involving drop boxes, third-party voter registration groups, and regulating what's called line-warming conduct, like giving people waiting food and water. Preclearance. Wow, it sounds like he's revisiting Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act for Florida. That's the provision that the Supreme Court recently gutted. DeSantis called the ruling partisan and predicted it would be reversed on appeal. Stay tuned. But wait, there's more. A group of students, parents, a teacher, and the LGBTQ advocacy group Equality Florida filed a lawsuit against that same Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, and his administration over the controversial parental rights and education law that he just signed, calling it offensive and unconstitutional. While the legislation, which critics call the Don't Say Gay Bill, bars teachers in kindergarten through third grade from discussing sexual identity and orientation in the classroom. This lawsuit is the first challenge to that law. The Republicans will certainly file an appeal. President Biden officially proclaimed Thursday, March 31st, as Transgender Day of Visibility. One of the measures he announced kicks in on April 11th. That's when the State Department will become the first U.S. federal government agency to offer transgender, intersex, non-binary, and gender non-conforming people a new way to identify themselves. The X designation will be available to those applying for passports, even if it doesn't match the gender on their birth certificate. It'll be rolled out for other State Department documents in late 2023. Now, from the I really hope it's true this time file, Russian and Ukrainian officials on Thursday announced a temporary ceasefire in the devastated southern port city of Mariupol in order to let civilians out and humanitarian aid in. About 100,000 residents are believed to be trapped in the city, which was home to 450,000 people before Russia invaded the country. Both sides have accused the other of violating local ceasefires intended to let civilians leave through humanitarian corridors. The International Committee of the Red Cross is hoping that the temporary ceasefire will allow the convoy of 45 buses to reach those trapped civilians. All right, this story is a combination of good news and bad. Good news, Russian troops left the crippled Chernobyl nuclear power plant and returned control to the Ukrainians on Friday. This after Russian soldiers got significant radiation doses while digging trenches around the site. Some of the Ukrainian employees who maintain the site reported that many of the Russian soldiers who occupied the plant had no clue what Chernobyl was or that it was the site of the worst nuclear disaster in history back in 1986 and that they took no safety precautions whatsoever. The company that operates the site didn't provide details on how many Russians were exposed to contamination near the plant, which has been closed since it melted down in 1986. President Biden on Thursday ordered the release of 1 million barrels of oil per day from the nation's strategic petroleum reserve over the next 6 months, 180 days, to help bring down crude oil prices driven up by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This release is the largest since the emergency stockpile was established in the 70s. On a related note, the International Energy Agency holding an emergency meeting Friday to discuss ways to stabilize oil markets. Oil prices did drop sharply after Biden's announcement on Thursday, but even the release of 1 million barrels a day would only cover about a third of the 3 million barrels a day that we use here in the U.S. Industry experts warn that gas prices could still hit new highs this spring and summer. Biden also announced plans to ramp up domestic production of minerals needed to manufacture batteries for electric cars and for long-term energy storage. The hope is that by doing so, the U.S. can lessen its dependence on fossil fuels and be less vulnerable to wild swings in oil prices during international conflicts. So, Jared Kushner appeared virtually on Thursday before the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Kushner, who served as one of Trump's senior White House advisors, is the former guy's son-in-law and the first known close Trump relative to speak with the panel. Committee member Congresswoman Elaine Loria of Virginia said the interview was, quote, really valuable to the committee, but she couldn't divulge any details. There are reports that Ivanka Trump has also been engaging with the committee over her own potential testimony. So funding for COVID relief has run out. Well, now there's reportedly an agreement in principle between some Republicans and some Democrats on a $10 billion package to provide further pandemic relief. Now, $10 billion is about half of what the White House was seeking. Some Democrats say the deal is a little farther along than Mitt Romney has suggested, but at least there's a bipartisan group working on this issue. There's another bipartisan group of senators trying to extend pandemic school meal waivers that gave federal funds and flexibilities to provide free food to more kids and to cope with supply chain and labor issues. The $10 billion would go toward vaccines, antiviral treatments, and other supplies for Americans, while largely scrapping plans to help vaccinate millions of people around the world. Unreal. Both Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said they're optimistic it'll pass. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.